Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, February 10th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's Friday already. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to the weekend. We have a lot of big stuff coming up next week. But we want to start off today by saying that anyone that watches this show with any regularity or listens to our show knows that we're not into coming out and just reading news stories. That's not really our style, is it?
No, in fact, I think everybody else does that.
Yeah, and I mean, whenever we hear people just reading news stories, it bores us. And in all honesty, for us to come out here and do that bores us.
I mean, it's one thing to read a little excerpt or a couple sentences or a little paragraph, but to read the entire article to you, we feel, is an insult to your intelligence. Yeah.
Now, some people have emailed us and said, well, we need people to tell us what the news is. And we always ask ourselves,
why?
I mean, like, how passive of a stance can somebody take?
Oh, no, it's lazy.
Yeah, lazy too. But passive. It's like sitting in front of your TV and watching CNN or watching Fox. All they do is read propaganda.
Right. I mean,
to
if
you.
You're that disinterested, then why bother even having somebody tell it to you?
Yeah. I mean, what we do is we go out and find our own news. We find what's interesting. And since this is a talk show, we come out and we want to talk to you. And we don't want you to just sit there passively. The topics we bring up here, we want them to trigger your mind and to provoke some thought. And that's what I think we did last Friday when we came up with this scenario of if Iran introduces the Bors, should the United States go ahead and bomb Iran, go to war, a potential bloodbath, or should we allow them to introduce the Bors and potentially face a catastrophe?
Yeah, and we got quite a bit of feedback on both sides, a lot of introspective commentary.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we want, is we want you, after we ask a question or pose a problem, we want you to go look in the mirror, really stare at yourself, and say, what would I do? And we got, you know, different reactions from different people last week about this show that, you know, really makes them look into themselves. So we're going to pose another one to you today. And there's been a lot of talk over the years about a police state, right, in America?
A lot.
Yeah.
Especially on the internet.
Right. So what if all the big news agencies said that tomorrow night George Bush is going to have his biggest press conference ever? This is something that everybody has to tune into because he has big news. Now, of course, everybody knows that George Bush makes almost virtually no decisions about anything except what kind of cereal he's having for breakfast and so forth. But play along with this, okay? So George Bush comes out. All the cameras are there. And he looks into them. He looks at the American people and he says, you know what I've decided to do? He says, you know that, you remember that document? He said, it's called the Constitution. See that? The Constitution. Well, I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think it's nothing but a piece of paper. And he says, after this speech is over tonight, there's an executive order that I'm going to sign that's going to make the Constitution null and void. In other words, the Constitution is no longer going to exist. And then he takes the Constitution, and he does that right on national TV. He says, that's it. The Constitution's done.
What would you do?
Then he looks into the camera and he says, there's also this other thing. It's called the Bill of Rights. You know what I mean, right? The Bill of Rights. And he says, well, you know, don't really need that either. Don't need that Bill of Rights. And so he rips that up and throws it at the camera. And then he looks into it and he says, and he gets real close. He puts his face up there and he says, what are you going to do now? He says, what are you going to do, America, if you want your rights back? You're going to have to come to Washington, D.C., and you're going to have to fight for them.
How would that sit with you? What would you do? Would you fight for them?
Yeah.
If directly challenged?
Now, we're not talking about sending articles around the internet. We're not talking about trying to get legislation passed.
Right. We're not talking about calling Congress.
Right, because after the Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been shredded, well, it doesn't matter anyways.
Right.
There will be no legislation.
We're not talking about petitions or marches or standing there with a sign, would you fight for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights if you were directly challenged by the President of the United States?
And now, if people out there say, well, that's preposterous. Yeah, that whole notion is preposterous. Well, it's not, because we already know.
Well, it is that he would come out and say
that. Yeah, yeah. But we already know that there are executive orders mm-hmm. on the books that basically make the Constitution and the Bill of Rights null and void. So this isn't something that just came out of our imaginations. That it's already on the books. It's just a matter of now the government saying we can do whatever we want to. Well, they pretty much can do whatever they want to now. They just mm-hmm. officially can't do it. So George Bush would say, what we're doing is making it legal now. And he says, you know what? Over the past 5 years, you people on the internet have particularly disturbed us. And you know who you are. You're the ones that are looking into 9/11. Mm-hmm. You're the ones that are looking into Oklahoma City bombing and so forth. And he gets a little closer to the camera again. He says, when we start going through houses, we think you are going to be the first ones.
To which I would probably want to respond, Mr. President, you people in the White House have particularly disturbed me.
Yeah. And we know that throughout history, that the dissidents have historically been rounded up.
Yeah.
They've been in prison. They've been executed. They've been deported. So this isn't an entirely new notion either. This mm-hmm. has happened in the past before. So, you know, we have to ask, what are we going to do if this day ever comes? Another thing is that what if he cuts off our internet? What if shows like Frank Whalen and Visigoth and Wing TV and Michael Collins Piper and down the line, Sam and Trish Britton, what if all these shows suddenly you don't have access to?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally it goes around the internet, mm-hmm. the end of the internet as we know it. Mm-hmm. But do you really think about it deeper than that? What would you do if there was no more independent media, no more alternative information, if the internet venues that you frequent now were gone suddenly?
Yeah, because if George Bush or whoever's president rips up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, there is no more right to a free press. There is no more freedom of speech. Those things are null and void. And if you think the whole internet scenario is far-fetched, before the show today I was reading an article about what Google has done in China. You've heard about that, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going around the internet that Google, to be allowed to be introduced into China in a big way, basically had to put a filter or a censor on their search engine. So if people click in, say, Tiananmen Square, it comes up on the screen, it says, you will not use profanity on the internet. And I guess there's over 30,000 internet police in China making sure
wow.
that people don't find this type of information.
Yeah. So don't pretend, you know, try to imagine it happening in the future. Pretend it's this way now, and you've been directly challenged by the president, and he said he's shutting down these internet sites, and he's going to round up all the dissidents and all the activists. What would you do if your access to this information was suddenly severed
yeah.
right at the jugular?
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you run back into your house and forget about all these issues? Would they go away for you? Or would you then take it to the next level?
Or what if he didn't say anything about rounding up dissidents? What if he just said, if you want your rights back, America, you have to come and fight for them and take them back? Now, we have done that before, at least in 1776. We had something here called the American Revolution. It was bloody, it was violent, but guess what? We won our freedom from England. And I don't think the scenario is a whole lot different today from what's going on. So if the challenge is laid on the table, what are you going to do? You're sitting here right now. It's Friday evening or Saturday morning, sometime this weekend. You're watching our show. And Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani pose this question. What are you going to do? You, right there watching it. Are you going to fight? Or are you going to roll over and play dead? Now, we hear all kinds of talk all the time about we got to fight the New World Order. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But
in fact, I was just having a conversation yesterday on the phone. And the issue was this lady was telling me, I feel like we're a couple of lone soldiers out here. as far as the activism is concerned, I said, well, Victor and I felt that way for several years now because up until last year, nobody went out and protested with us. We had to do it by ourselves, and we stood alone. And up until last year, we were lone soldiers.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people are very supportive of activism and the things that others do, as long as it doesn't involve getting away from their computers.
Yeah.
You know, supportive emails and appreciative emails are great, but you need to take it beyond that because otherwise, you know, like, we can't do it without you.
Yeah. And there's another thing is, how much more do we need to know?
Yeah.
We know the government was behind 9/11. We know that the Oklahoma City bombing was state-sponsored terrorism. We know that the income tax is a total scam job. We know how much power Israel exerts over the United States. At a certain point, your learning curve gets to where you have a pretty good idea of what's going on in the world. And I think that most people watching this show and tuning in to the others on our radio A-list, they know what's going on.
And Victor and I also know full well how difficult it is to try to get people to understand the reality of the situation, the gravity of the situation. A lot of people won't want to have anything to do with you anymore. But as the same person said to me, the people that are meant to be in your life,
right,
the new people that are meant to be in your lives, will be in your lives.
Yeah. It's a division between reality and illusion. And in all honesty, the people who live under an illusion, we don't have much to do with them. We don't have time for them. There are more serious things going on in the world. Now, other people say, well, all we really have to do is just increase awareness. That's all we have to do.
But
just make people aware.
Awareness without being followed up by action is meaningless and accomplishes nothing.
Yeah. So what if every single person in the United States of America knew that the government was behind 9/11? Every single person, okay?
And then you all ignored it.
But then you turn on the TV and you see CNN, ABC, Fox News, and they're saying Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were behind 9/11. Then you go into the schools and you open up the history book and it says Al-Qaeda behind 9/11. You go to the library, Osama bin Laden behind 9/11. So still the official sources are saying that it's Osama bin Laden. And it's the same thing on and on. A perfect example is the Kennedy assassination. I think in my entire life, I've met now two people who believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone shooter. Two people.
But how many people came out and challenged the government on that? Really came out in number and force.
But if you turn on the History Channel or if you turn on CBS News Tonight and they mention the Kennedy assassination, they're going to say, lone assassin Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy.
And people soak it up like it's just another movie, you know? Yeah. Wow, this is cool, let's get the popcorn.
Yeah. So it's the big lie, the big, big lie. And how long can we just say we're going to make people aware? Because I just read something this morning, Scott Ritter, you know who he is.
Yep.
He was the guy that said there was no WMDs
in
Iraq. Well, guess what? There ended up being no WMDs in Iraq. He came out and says, we're going to Iran. We're invading Iran. He said, it's almost a guaranteed certainty. Now, if you remember our show last Friday, this is going to be a bloodbath. This is going to be as ugly. Mark Glenn said yesterday that this might be the most monumental time ever in the history of the world.
You know, I was on the phone this morning with our movie reviewer, Alan Kirkpatrick, who thinks we should bomb Iran. And I'm trying to tell him that the nuclear threat is just a smokescreen, that the real reason that we want to go into Iran and wipe them out, it has nothing to do with their nuclear capability. And I'm trying to explain this to him and lay it all out for him. And he still is so entrenched in this Michael Savage BS mindset. Well, either way, I don't want them bombing my trestles. You know, and like just coming off with this wild stuff. He's so behind the eight ball. There are people that you just won't be able to convince no matter what.
Right. I mean, you can lead a horse to water,
right,
but you can't make him drink. And this, our movie review is also the same guy that we had many conversations with him about 9/11, explained the whole thing. And he said, if this is true, if our government was actually behind 9/11, he said, I'd have to kill myself.
You know what he said?
Because
yeah.
He says that the world would be so awful that he couldn't tolerate it, that he would have to die.
I'm not saying that what you're saying is incorrect or that it's wrong, Lisa, but he'd prefer to believe what Michael Savage is dishing out. Even though he thinks that I might be right, he'd rather just believe what goes down easier.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like that.
I would prefer to believe that Santa Claus was real,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really.
Because when I still believed in Santa Claus when I was 3 and 4 years old, the world was a whole lot easier.
It's a lot simpler, wasn't it?
Simpler and innocent.
And it was more fun.
Yeah. And guess what? Santa Claus doesn't exist. So, boom, you have to get a slap in the face of reality. And right now, here's what our government, this world organized crime syndicate, is doing to everyday people. See, that's us. This is the everyday people. They're going, boom, boom, boom. They're bashing our faces in. That's what they're doing. And if George Bush comes out and says, we're ripping up the Constitution, it's null and void, and then he says like this, come on and fight us now. What are you going to do? What the hell are we going to do? What are we going to do? Here's another question, Lisa.
Hmm.
What if we go into Iran, and what if we get beat? I mean, what if Russia and China all of a sudden back Iran? Now, I'm not talking about America getting beat like in Korea or Vietnam or even Iraq. I'm not talking about that because, you know, it's like, well, it's not a real victory. It's not a real defeat. It's just kind of a checkmate, you know. I'm talking about what if America gets its ass kicked?
Oh, you know, Mark Glenn, who we had on our show yesterday, wrote a great article called Wrestling the Alligator. And it was about these people who got shipwrecked, and then they ended up going on this island. And all of a sudden, one night, the people started disappearing one by one, and it was this huge alligator that lived on the island that was eating the people one by one. And they had to cut a deal with the alligator. Now, this one guy said, "Now we need to kill this alligator because pretty soon there won't be any of us left." Well, they didn't listen to him, and sure enough, their numbers dwindled. And the whole point of it was, at the end, they had to go and fight the alligator, but they waited so long that the danger was even greater than at the beginning, because they sat back and did nothing until it was almost too late.
He's great with those analogies. And I bring this point up about America getting beat because after World War I, Germany was so deflated, so disheartened, so absolutely crushed by their defeat. And then what happened after that was they had the Treaty of Versailles and all these different... these official sanctions on Germany. They had to cut their military to a certain amount. They had to have war reparations. And not only did they have the humiliation of a defeat in war, but then they put the screws to them even worse with all the economic sanctions and so forth. And the reason that there was a creation of someone like Adolf Hitler, the reason why there was a creation of World War II, all went back to World War I. And how would America feel? I mean, we all...
Yeah, if America was neutered, like Germany has been.
Yeah, yeah, and right now, if you go to Germany, it's like such an asexual, neutered, just middle-of-the-road country because all of their heart and all of their fight has been taken out of them.
They've been broken.
Yeah, and you know, most of their warriors were killed in World War I and World War II. The ones that had the strong genes, the ones that were the fighters, all got slaughtered on the battlefield. So all they have now is the people that are going to sit on the fence. And that's why Germany's been neutered. Well, how much or how to what degree has America already been neutered?
Mm-hmm. And who's doing the neutering?
Yeah. And so I asked this question to someone yesterday about what would happen if George Bush ripped up the Constitution and said, if you want your rights back, you have to come and fight for him. I said, do you think America would go fight for him? And he sat there a second. He said, no. He says, I don't think we would. I says, you mean you're telling me that you think we'd roll over and play dead? I says, why? He says, America doesn't have the fight in him anymore. And you know what? I can't accept that. I can't accept that because I know how many people out there are pissed off. How many people want what's right? And you know, there are a lot of people that will sit in front of Fox News and CNN that might not fight. And it's because of our educational system where...
Well, they've given up.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, what can we do? It's too big. It's bigger than all of us.
Yeah. If there's any hope in saving America, it's right there. It's you watching this TV show right now. It's you who listen to us. who read these articles that have become informed, and I know for a fact that if push came to shove, you guys would get your asses off your chairs and go out there and fight, because we're a small, I would even say, Lisa, an elite, because 99% of the populace voted for either Bush or Kerry in the last election. Mm-hmm. That means there's only 1% of the populace that votes that has any kind of sense whatsoever, and you're that 1%. You're in the small elite minority that knows what's going on.
It might end up taking that 1% to turn things around, but the 1% will have to be willing to get up and fight for it.
And just think, the responsibility for saving this country right now, we're telling you, it's on your shoulders. You're the ones responsible for saving this country. Don't look at your neighbors. Don't look at the people who work beside you that don't know what the hell's going on. It's your responsibility right now. It's up to you to save our country, and that's why we're coming out here today. We want you to be the ones that stand up and say, you're damn right, I'm going to go out and fight. They're not taking our rights away without anything behind it. We're the ones that are going to go to D.C. and take them back. You're the ones who have to do it.
We want to hear from you. We want to hear your feedback on this. What would you do?
And I know I've been to enough protests with Lisa that if George Bush ever said this, it would take chains to hold her back, and we'd get Patriot Jim Kujawa, and we'd get Michael Langston, and we'd get all of you. And you know what? Sometimes, as bleak as it seems, I know there's still people out there that give a damn, because if you didn't give a damn, you wouldn't be sitting here right now listening to what we're saying.
And you know, as dangerous as it seems like it would be, it's more dangerous to sit around and do nothing.
Right.
And do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, pretend we did do nothing. So you're sitting in your house one night, eating supper, and all of a sudden, boom, the door's bashed open, and you see four people come in. Now, we're not the people that are sensationalistic fear-mongers or so forth, but we're laying a scenario out before you. What's it better to do? Go and fight? Or sit there and let your doors be bashed in?
Yeah. No dying on your knees.
That's right.
We wanted to tell you, too, that Rick Ryder and Loretta Medaglia, two 9/11 activists, and Rick's a 9/11 researcher, they've come up with activist kits that they're putting together. They got these really cool bumper stickers that we're going to be offering, and I guess they're putting these kits together for you that you can contact us, and soon we're going to have a link on the website about this.
This one says, danger, 9/11 was an inside job, expose them. And what's that saying?
Right, warning, 9/11 equals controlled demolitions, demand the truth now. These are really cool looking stickers, and I guess the way we're going to do it is you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and they'll be sending you these stickers, and the kits will be a few dollars, but they'll be worth it.
Yeah, so we'll give you more
info on this next week.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, we laid another scenario out for you. We'd like to thank Michael Langston. If you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see the archive button is now active, and it shows a lot of our old archives.
And these aren't even all of our shows, because before Michael came along, we didn't have the archives set up. So, but there's quite a few of them on there, and we appreciate all the hard work and the time spent that Michael
did to
put that together for us.
And I know when we start doing our protests, when the weather warms up a little bit, we know Michael Langston's going to be there too. He's going to be on the bus. He's going to be traveling, and it's going to be great to see him
Patriot
again.
Patriot Jim Kujawa.
That's right. So anyway, folks, we laid a lot on the table for you today. We gave you a lot to think about. And let us know. Last Friday we got a great response from the show. And we want to know where your heads are at, you know. Are we on the mark with what we're saying? Are we off base? Let us know where you stand. And most of all, let us know what you would do. Would you fight or would you sit?
Now remember, it's February now. 9/11 is going to be rolling around the corner sooner than you think. Start planning now.
Yeah.
Because on 9/11, we're going back to ground zero, and we want to see a lot of you there, too, standing with us.
Enjoy your weekend, and keep your eyes open, because, as we always say, there's a lot going on.
Let truth be your sword. See you Monday.